You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are visiting with Elliot Omundson, the managing partner of Sage Financial, a financial planning firm that specializes in retirement planning for pre-retirees and existing retirees. Mr. Omundson, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much, Eric. I'm glad to be here.
And thanks for taking out a moment to be with us. So for starters, tell us about your background and how did you end up becoming a financial advisor?
Yeah, sure. It was, I think a lot of financial advisors end up kind of as a secondary line of work. And I myself, I'm former Army. I have about 3 years of combat time in different countries throughout the Middle East. And to be honest, I never saw myself in the position that I'm in today doing what I'm doing. And in fact, it was such a foreign concept to me that when I first got introduced to the people at Sage Financial, I spent a year and 3 months talking to them, basically refusing to come to work for them. And while they just kept upping the stakes and eventually I decided I would give it a shot. And at the same time, while we were doing that, I have two brothers. So this is kind of interesting. Out of the three of us, all three of us are actually now financial advisors. My two brothers had become financial advisors about 8-9 years earlier than I did. And so while I was talking to Sage Financial, I was also able to talk to them and kind of through getting to hear about their experience in the industry. Kind of identify what if I was going to do it, how I wanted to do it, and it really kind of helped me out.
And I'm sure it did. And interesting that your brothers were in the industry, and now that you are as well, that's I like that. Tell us, are there any key incidences or life-changing events that did inspire your decision to become a financial advisor?
Yeah. So while the military is one of the most gratifying jobs you can have. And you really feel like you're part of something. You feel like you make an impact. And when you spend a lot of time in these third world countries and you're able to kind of live with the people as I did, you're able to really see the effect that you have, right? And it's hard to imagine finding another career that can kind of offer you that same level of fulfillment. And then looking back as you see the path that you've gone in life, a lot of times you can kind of see things from years previously that might have helped lead you to where you're at. And so it was just kind of funny. I can remember my very first job that I had when I was 10, and my mom helping me create a little spiral-bound notebook. This is obviously back before everybody had computers. And I would track who I worked for, how much money I made, what date I made it. And then 50% went to savings at a local bank here, and 40% went to my spending account, and 10% went to the church. And from the time I was 10, I was able to track that. By the time I was 15, my sister, who's older than me, and myself, had enough money saved up that we then had the family financial investment advisor over. And I remember clear as day sitting at the kitchen table, and I had about $5,000 that I was able to invest in some mutual funds with them and start watching this portfolio grow. By the time I was in high school, we had an investment class, and you could invest real money in stock, and the class would vote on what it got invested in. I remember not being willing to allow anybody else to have a say in how my money was invested. So each dollar was a vote, and I just made sure to invest enough dollars that my vote was the only one that counted. And at the end of that junior year of high school, I was able to sell off some stock in Dr. Pepper that I had for a gain that allowed me to spend 3 weeks in Europe that summer. And so, you know, when you're so after having gotten out of the military and explored this route and having become a financial advisor, it's just kind of interesting to kind of look back and see that there's events that you had in your life that kind of taught you a lot about, you know, this career that you know, I had kind of forgotten about. And now looking back on it, I think were kind of pivotal to me ending up where I'm at.
Certainly appreciate your sharing that on a personal note and your journey that led to your decision to become a financial advisor. What has been the most rewarding aspect of your financial career so far?
So this is something I really didn't expect, but, you know, everybody kind of fears the same thing. And those fears are driven by the unknown. And so getting to meet with people, and I specialize in people who are approaching retirement, their fears are all the same. And it doesn't really matter how much money they have or how little money they have. Nobody ever thinks they have enough. And getting to help eliminate the anxiety and stress is incredible, right? We spend years not ever having enough money, right? We're working, you start off, you're younger, you're paycheck to paycheck. You might start to have kids, start to grow a family, and you put off saving. Maybe you get a job that has a 401k, and so maybe you start to contribute a little bit, 1%, 2%, 3% of your paycheck to that. But ultimately, you're always having these conversations with the significant people in your life about finances that are fairly unpleasant. It's usually on the end of not ever having enough, or a car breaking down and needing a repair, or a vacation that you got to go on a really tight budget. And so growing up, I remember renting a room with two beds in it and three kids sleeping on a floor, my older sister getting a bed, and my parents having a bed, right? It's always, resources are so limited for most people in the beginning. And after 40 years of that, you have so much anxiety built towards it. And being able to bring people into our office and be able to help melt that anxiety away and help them understand that once we stop working and we shift from an accumulation phase of our life to the distribution phase of our life, all those anxieties and all those fears and worries actually can kind of go away because we have all the assets now that we're working with. It's all right here. You can see it all. And what we do is we help you, the investor, arrangement in such a way to be able to accomplish your goal, but you're working with a known quantity. We're not working anymore trying to save for some unknown amount of money that we can't figure out, that we don't know how much we need. We actually have what we're working with, and now we just got to structure it and see how much money we can get out of it, and that there's not as much anxiety with it. And so you get to have people come in, they have all this anxiety built up, they have all these fears, you get to show them. That's the same we have in the Army. I can show you, but I can tell you. And we can show them how what they have isn't going to get them X amount of dollars for the rest of their life. And you watch that anxiety, you watch the fear melt away, and you watch two people who have had so much conflict with each other over their finances come together. And it's a beautiful thing, you know? You almost feel like you're a relationship counselor more than you're an investment advisor.
Quite a story, no doubt about that. Today we are joined by Mr. Elliot Omundson, the managing partner of Sage Financial, a financial planning firm that specializes in retirement planning for pre-retirees and existing retirees here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Omundson, when you started out in finance, what specific idea, purpose, or vision guided your motive to be where you're at today?
Well, I had a very specific experience. So I had a client that was very early on that was just really took a liking to myself, and my wife actually went out to dinner. And this client took us to Las Vegas for a weekend. And until you've done Vegas, and this is probably Vegas is probably the last thing a prudent financial advisor should be talking about, right? But until you've done Vegas, like somebody that gambles seven figures a year in Vegas. You've never done Vegas. And so we fly into Vegas. We're with this couple that's taken us, and we step out of the airport, and there's an Escalade there, right? You think that's there for to pick you up. And we go to get into it, and they, the rep from the casino starts laughing, and the our client who's taking us starts laughing, like, no, 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 that's for your luggage. And there was a 2015 Rolls-Royce Ghost, or 2014 Rolls-Royce Ghost sitting there, brand new, and that was our car for the weekend. And then we had this room, the MGM Skyloft. It's, you had a private elevator. You had a 24-hour butler. The room was two stories. It was just incredible. We'd never seen anything like it. It's like $3,000 a night. Every meal we went to, it didn't matter where on the strip it was. We went to Serendipity one morning. There was an hour and a half wait. The casino had a representative there ahead of us and had our table already taken, set aside. We show up to another restaurant for dinner, and there was no seat available to us. And they literally moved people and to make room for us. Everything was like this. It was just this amazing attention to detail. Every little whim we had was taken care of. And I came home from that, and I thought, that is exactly how the way they made me feel was exactly the way I want every client who comes through Sage Financial to feel. Now, obviously, the casino has unlimited resources, but when you stop and you think about what exactly was it that made you feel that way, right? It's not necessarily them spending a bunch of money on you. It was the attention to detail. It was catering everything towards you, and the level of communication that they had by being there every step of the way to hold our hand. And so that's really what we've in the last 3 years built. Sage Financial into is we are extremely comprehensive in the approach that we take towards our clients, and it goes way beyond just a surface relationship. We know intimately everything our client likes. We take them to their favorite functions, and whether it's sporting events or whether it's concerts or plays, but we know exactly what all their likes are, and we ensure from the drink that they have to their activity that we do with them to the way in which we communicate with them is all perfectly tailored just to them. And it's really made an impact for us.
I'd be curious at this point, what do you hope to achieve within Sage Financial itself?
Well, there's really two things. So one is in regards to our clients. We want to continue down the path that we've started. In regards to taking care of the client. And we want to develop that out even more fully. And so we've started to, we started to incorporate a lot of state-of-the-art technology in order to be able to communicate with our clients, no matter where they're at, in a manner in which they're comfortable and they're able to be communicated with. And that's the number one priority, right, is making sure that you always treat them correctly. But the second thing that we found is that other financial advisors seem to go about this the most difficult way possible. And we've looked at the numbers, we've seen the studies. So for every seven figures of revenue that a financial advisor generates or a financial firm generates, they have 12.6 employees. That's a lot of overhead. That's a lot of headache. And so when we looked at our model and we found that we're able to basically accomplish that with three, we decided that the second thing we're going to do besides our main business, which is, you know, servicing our clients, is we're going to start to actually build out a system to be able to allow other financial advisors to learn how to be a lot more effective with their own practice. And the more effective that we're able to be, the better we're able to take care of the clients that we service. I tell people all the time, if it wasn't for the fact that I have clients that I make six figures a year off of. I would never be able to provide the level of service I do to a client that I only make $10,000 a year off of. And so that's really the second thing that we want to do is we want to be able to really kind of show other financial advisors how to build an effective, efficient practice that with the smallest amount of overhead possible, be able to deliver the highest level of service to a client possible.
Important to know where you're going, and you've certainly got that covered. In conclusion, what would you recommend people do or say when they encounter resistance towards becoming a financial advisor?
Well, the first thing I do, is just laugh, right? Being a financial advisor is like everything. Okay, if you look at the majority of any industry, people struggle, people fail, and you can't expect not to. But the wonderful thing about the financial industry is that if you can survive the first few years under most people's model, you'll eventually get to the point where you have a pretty fantastic level of income. If you do it a little bit differently, you can achieve that in year one. I know that my very first year in this industry, I made more money than 95% of the country. In my second year, more than 99% of them. It's hard to find a line of work you can go into that can allow you that level of success in such a short period of time. But in order to do it, you got to do it differently. So I know a lot of people's wives don't like the idea of their husband going into a line of work that's sales driven, where a lot of your income can be derived off of commissions. But ultimately, that's where the most amount of success lies. So I would laugh at them. I would tell them you're capable of adapting, learning, and killing what you eat, and go out there and make it happen.
Well, Mr. Omison, it certainly has been great to have had you, and really appreciate your sharing your journey and your road to financial planning and the success that you've seen, and also drawing attention to the financial planning, whether if it's personal or business, and we do appreciate that. Where can listeners be in touch and get more information about Sage Financial?
Well, I appreciate that. The best information is always found at our website, sagefinancial.org. It's kind of tricky, not .com, but .org. And then we can also always just be reached by phone at 913-441-8380. But it's usually best just to go to our website. We have a lot of tools, white papers, and other information there for people to be able to use to be able to learn about whether it's retirement or whether it's your financial situation leading up to retirement.
Again, Mr. Omison, it has been our pleasure to have had you today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly wish you all the best. And again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
We've been speaking with Mr. Elliot Omison, the managing partner of Sage Financial, a financial planning firm that specializes in retirement planning for pre-retirees and existing retirees. And for more information, simply visit sagefinancial.org. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.